Now, there was a very interesting letter in the Sunday Independent letters just on Sunday gone. And I'm going to read it to you now. It's from a lady called Cathy Nevin from Hollymount in County Mayo. And beside it is a picture of a floral tribute left outside Sinead O'Connor's former home in Bray. And it goes on to say that mobile phone cameras were prominent when her funeral cortege passed along the seafront in Bray last week. So here is the letter. "Sir, I just watched the funeral cortege of Sinead O'Connor pass along the seafront in Bray and feel compelled to voice my disgust at the amount of people with mobile phones taking videos and pictures. Is nothing sacred anymore? Every event, concert or gathering of any description taking place these days must be captured on the phone. Can I ask as to the need for this? If you are at the event, you can see for yourself what's happening. And if you want to see this through a screen, I suggest you stay at home and look at it on TV or go online. I should also note that it wasn't all young people doing this either. We have become obsessed with the Instagram picture, the selfie to show others we are attending this or that. May I suggest being present at the funeral or concert or event, seeing it and hearing it, and leave it at that. It is much more valuable than tons of photos and videos clogging up phones that are never looked at again." And that's from Cathy Nevin from Hollymount in County Mayo. And I just thought it really touched a chord. I mean, it's just like that. If you go to anything, if you go to an event, a concert, all you see are phones. Well, we're going to have a chat about this now. I'm joined on the line by Susan Barrett of Susan Barrett Mindfulness even here in Kerry. Good afternoon to you, Susan.
Hi, Mary. How are you?
Very good. Susan, I suppose you and your business is all about mindfulness and, I suppose, practicing being present in the moment. Just, I suppose, your own view on that letter. It's quite accurate, isn't it?
Well, to be honest, I was quite amused by the letter and by the kind of preachy and judgy tone of the letter, Mary, because it reminded me of what previous generations have bemoaned about the generation that's following. Like when I was growing up, you know, we were told that miniskirts and Top of the Pops was going to be the ruination of us, and the generation before that were bemoaning television being the ruination of the nation. So there was a little bit of that tone, I thought, in this letter, because I think one of the things we have to accept is that we are, and young people in particular, are growing up in a digital age. That those of us who are over 50 struggle to comprehend the amount of interaction that happens digitally and online now. So I do think it's not always helpful to hear that kind of behavior being judged in that kind of a way, because many young people are the mobile devices are like an extension of them nowadays, and they need them and feel the essential need for them to communicate.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I was amused as much as anything else, but I do think she had a point to make about being present at things and our ability to pay attention to an event like that. And particularly, obviously, she was referring to Sinead O'Connor's funeral. And some people might have seen it as disrespectful to have phones out snapping pictures of the event and the cortege passing.
Yeah, that's something I hadn't thought of about the generational thing there, because I suppose, you know, as you say, every generation, you know, is giving out about the next one coming behind them. But that point about you make about, you know, young people now growing up and, you know, phones, they're in the digital age, phones are so much part of them. That whole thing about, I suppose, attention and our attention span. I mean, it's not just young people, really, is it? It's people of every age now with phones. Our attention spans aren't really what they used to be.
Well, I would say that it's too early for us to really judge what the impact of all this use of technology is going to be on our brains, and particularly on the developing brain, because they've only been around in such force probably for the last 30 years or so. So time will tell. There will be research to see how the use of mobile technology is impacting on our attention span in the moment. But anecdotally, we've plenty of evidence, because I think, you know, I know from my own experience, if I'm watching something and I'm also engaging with my phone, there's a split in my attention. There's a dual attention going on. And we don't really have that ability to pay attention to two things equally at the same time. So I think it's a fair point that our concentration is impacted. Our attention is being pulled in lots of different directions. We think we're actually being present to something. But in actual fact, our minds are looking at this device. And, you know, say if you watch how people are engaging with sports nowadays, they're often watching a match on TV, but at the same time on their phone or their laptop, they could be following the online commentary about the match that they're watching. So I think that's an interesting one. I heard a sports journalist writing about the different engagement they need now, as well as watching a match. They have to be following the commentary online. So all these kinds of habits and behaviors that we're developing around our technology are impacting on our ability to be really present. Like if I said to you, put your phone down now for the next 3 days and don't look at it at all, how do you think that would be for you?
Not so good.
Well, sure, I'm the same myself. We're all the same. You know, we have developed habits. So I suppose when it comes to something like mindfulness, let me give you an example of something recent that happened. I'm a member of the Dingle Hill Walking Club. And I was asked at the beginning of the summer to lead a walk, and we called it a hush hike. So we walk every Sunday with the club, but this time we decided we go for a 3-hour walk in complete silence. So we had left our phones behind or turned off in the backpacks, and we walked and even had our lunch, our little break with our flasks and our sandwiches in complete silence. And some of the members said to me afterwards, actually one of the things that struck them was they noticed a lot more. Because if we were regularly walking in the group as we do, we'd be chatting away with each other. We'd be telling stories and regaling each other with anecdotes from our week. And we might not notice the flowers that were growing around us, the sound of the waves that were coming in Clogher Strand, the beautiful views over to the Blaskets. So it was a really interesting experience for people to actually put aside their mobile technology in quietness and open themselves to what was actually going on around them. So that's an experiment I think that lots of us could try more regularly.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, I'm just thinking of, you know, even going back to, you know, the letter word references, events and concerts and that kind of thing. And you know, people are often, you know, as it says, trying to get the, you know, the Instagram perfect picture. And you know, you might even see people getting agitated because, you know, they're trying to get a proper picture, and I suppose they're so distracted with doing that than actually, I suppose, enjoying themselves at whatever they're at, whether it's, you know, a day at the beach or whether it is a concert.
Yeah, I think that's a fair point, that we can generate a lot of stress for ourselves in trying to capture these absolutely perfect moments. And I think one valid point that the letter writer did make was, what do we do with all those images afterwards? I mean, I know myself, I've gone on beautiful day trips and I've gone to beaches and mountains and I've taken photographs, and they're somewhere on the phone. I can never find them when I want to go, unless you're very organized and you catalog them all and they're at your fingertips. So I think we could bring more awareness to what we're documenting, and probably more importantly, why, what's the purpose of documenting all of these events in our lives. And but rather than that kind of preachy tone that I think she adopts in her letter, I think it, if it were more invitational, and if we were just invited, well, why don't you experiment and invite yourself for a half day to set your phone aside, or even for an hour, and go for a walk without the phone on, without checking messages, without snapping the pictures and posting of here's the walk I'm going on today, and just experiment to see what that would feel like. I think that would be an interesting experiment to invite people to do.
Absolutely. And Susan, just, you know, I mean, I mentioned when I spoke to you initially about this, you know, about mindfulness, and I suppose the term can be bandied about a bit and has been, I suppose, in the last few years. But just, you know, I suppose describing it to us on a basic level in your everyday life about, you know, how can you practice mindfulness, you know, the average person listening to us here today?
Well, there isn't anything fancy about mindfulness. It's an age-old practice that's going back for centuries. It's really about awareness and cultivating awareness of whatever we happen to be doing in the moment. So, you know, even as I'm speaking to you now, I'm looking at pigeons on a roof, and I've had some thoughts about the pigeons on a roof in front of me. I'm in the centre of town, not far from Radio Kerry building, and I'm conscious of people walking by my car where I'm sitting in my car. So, you know, we do have this wonderful ability to multitask and to do a number of things at the same time. But it's interesting to notice how when we think we're being aware of something, in actual fact, our minds are often elsewhere and preoccupied. You know, if we're standing waiting for the kettle to boil, if we're having a cup of tea, if we're washing dishes looking out the window, we think we're noticing what we're doing. But in actual fact, we might be planning the rest of our day. We might be rehashing a conversation in our minds over and over. So mindfulness is about bringing our attention really into the moment, and we have to train ourselves to do that. Like a small child of 3 or 4 has that ability to be mindful naturally, and all humans have that ability. You know, you'll see a child playing, pouring water into little receptacles, and the child will be really absorbed in what they're doing. They won't even hear you calling them. But as we get older, as we get more skilled at multitasking, we tend to lose that ability to be really present to what we're doing. So in fact, with the mindfulness practice, we're retraining ourselves to be really present and aware. So in conversation is one really good place to try it out and experiment, so that when you're in having a conversation with someone, rather than thinking ahead to the next wonderfully witty point you're going to make, how would it be just to really hear what that other person is saying and trust that some kind of response is going to come? I think it's a really useful practice for parents to be present to their children. Because you hear parents saying, oh my God, I missed out so much of my child's growing up, their childhood, because I was so preoccupied and busy and worried about my work. So I think there are many, many ways that we can bring more awareness. Most of it, Mary, involves slowing things down a little. Our life is so fast-paced that we're rushing a lot from one thing to another. So if there's one thing I've learned over my 35 years or so of practicing is to, but I have to remind myself regularly to do it, to slow things down, to cram less into the day, and to try and give myself a little more time for the things that I'm doing.
Yeah, because I suppose in the modern era, you know, people are doing so many things. They get overwhelmed, you know, as you said, there's that, you know, that need nearly always to have the phone there to be available if somebody's trying to contact you or to see what's going on in the world. You could be juggling a family, as you say, a job. There's a lot of things that people have to do. And as you say, you might only be washing the dishes or, you know, boiling, waiting for the kettle to boil, but you're thinking about something else. So I suppose it's having that ability to kind of stop and think and to maybe not let yourself get overwhelmed.
Yeah, I think downtime is underrated. We all need that kind of downtime where we're just kind of hanging around and not doing a whole lot, and that can be really valuable time just to reset our nervous systems. I think what happens in that fast-paced life that you're describing is we can get an overactivation of our central nervous system. So in a sense, we can always feel speeded up a little bit, hyper kind of, and that can become a default mode for many of us. So that shows up in a lot of physical tension in the body. Like when people come in mindfulness courses with me, and we often do some gentle mindful movement, and they suddenly realize, oh my God, I'm holding tension in my shoulders, in my jaw, in my stomach. So the body can actually retain a lot of that tension from the fast-paced nature of our life. So when we offer ourselves the opportunity to slow down things a little, we can learn to read the body a little bit like a barometer. So I know now if I start feeling tension in my shoulders, it's time to take a few breaths here. It's time to slow things down, maybe have a cup of tea, maybe go for a walk just to decompress a little. Other people will feel, you know, a knot in their stomach or a tightness in the chest. And when we slow things down and we become a little bit more tuned into the physical body, we can take these signs and learn to recognize them as being very kind of early warning signs that our stress levels are starting to increase. And if we can catch ourselves at that point and decompress a little, we can often prevent ourselves from going into that overthinking, catastrophizing, overanalyzing that so many of us get caught up in.
Yeah, wise words there. So stop, pause, take a few deep breaths, as you said, go for a walk, have a cup of tea, and live in the moment.
Yeah, it is actually, I mean, mindfulness is actually very simple, Mary. It's really a simple practice, but it's not easy to do. Mm-hmm. It's very challenging because slowing down when we're on a treadmill of busyness, slowing down can be very, very challenging. We don't know what to do with ourselves. And that can be the moment that people rely and turn to phones then for filling that gap because we're not used to sitting with boredom. So
yeah.
A few things I could invite your listeners to do. The next time they're out for a walk, whether it's around town, around the village, on the beach, wherever it might be, maybe just silence the phone just for half an hour to see what it's like just to listen to birds, to watch the view around you, hear the noise of cars, traffic, whatever it might be. Wherever you are, just to open your senses to what's around you. Maybe try a cup of tea at your kitchen table or at your work desk without, well, maybe you can't do it on your work desk when you're supposed to be productive, but if you're at your kitchen table, try a cup of tea without actually, you know, checking your Instagram feed, posting something, commenting on something. So I think we have to find little moments interspersed, peppered throughout our day where we can take little momentary pauses. Because if we think, oh, I'll save all my mindfulness practice now for Saturday or Sunday morning when I've got more time, I think we're fighting a losing battle. We have to find small moments of the day where we can allow the body and mind to decompress a little bit, to slow things down and to reset our nervous systems. And I think when we train ourselves to do that, we feel the benefit of it.
Okay. Susan, very wise words there. I think you've inspired lots of us here across the kingdom this afternoon. Look, thank you.
Let's avoid being preachy and judgy about people's habits, because I'm just as guilty with the phone, I can tell you, as anybody else. But the main thing is to recognise it's a habit. Our use of it is a habit. And with any habit, we can make different choices and we can learn to do things slightly differently. So maybe a little bit more awareness to our use of our phone, and more awareness generally in our day of what's going on around us might benefit us all.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. Susan, look, thank you so much for joining us here on the programme.
Thank you, Mary. Pleasure talking to you.